Welcome to the Diamond of Itchies podcast, a show dedicated to the artistry and science of sports field management and celebrating the groundskeepers who create those masterpieces. The Diamond of Itchies podcast is sponsored by Beacon Athletics for over 67 years providing solutions for sports field managers. With winter setting in, it's time to start thinking about your off-season. A good start would be you continuing your professional development. That involves education and networking.
Well, golly, Paul, it sounds an awful lot like you're starting to talk about trade show season.
That's right, T. And in today's Out of the Park segment, we take a look at the granddaddy of them all for our industry, the Sports Turf Managers Association Annual Conference, which this January lands in San Diego. We'll talk to Kim Heck, the Chief Executive Officer of the STMA, to get a preview of what's to come at this year's show.
And to close it out today, we'll put our own spin on the STMA and some of the other conferences in our trade and talk about some of the standard benefits and maybe some surprise benefits that you can get from these shows.
Now, is that going to include all the stories I have on you?
You mean back when I was fun before I had a kid?
Well, I got a boatload of them. You'll see. All that and more on this edition of the Diamond Da Vinci's podcast. Hello again, everybody. I'm Paul Zawaska, your host for the Diamond Da Vinci's podcast, and I'm joined by Teresa Beyer, who's a little under the weather today, but still a very talented co-host.
Well, hello, Paul.
Well, we're back. Nice little vacation from our podcast. You'll notice we didn't put one out a couple weeks ago. We took a little break during the Thanksgiving holidays, and
gobble.
We're back at it. It's kind of nice to catch our breath and get ready for the busy time we got ahead. And that means, in my industry, trade show season's coming.
Huzzah.
Yeah, yeah. And January for us, just a little insider info, January here at Beacon is crazy because we've got so many trade shows going on around the country, and we're shifting people to and fro out of the offices. And it takes quite a band of people to get all these trade shows that we cover in January and early February. But the biggest, of course, is the STMA conference. And, you know, it's always been my favorite one. And I think it's because, you know, like we cover the National Park and Rec Show. We cover the American Baseball Coaches Show and the STMA show. Those are the three national shows we do. But then, of course, we do a lot of the small regional shows and things like that. But it's the STMA, to me, that's the most fun, first of all, because they do it right. They just do a great job running their show. They've got time set aside strictly for the trade show, so the trade show's the only thing going on to make sure we get people in there. But for me, it's I get to see all my peeps, you know, all the groundskeepers who I've known.
No. How old are you? How white are you? You don't get to say peeps. I'm calling you out on that one. You're getting a card.
You know, it's just great to meet up with all the groundskeepers that you've met over the years, both when I was practicing in the industry and now as from a sales standpoint. And groundskeepers are just great, down to earth people, hardworking, much like farmers, just really great people. And I love that part of the STMA of getting together and talking and seeing how people's past season went on their fields and hearing their issues and hearing their successes and all that good stuff. And that's part of what going to these kind of shows is all about is, you know, that's networking is really what that's all about.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that was actually, you know, as much as I got out of it academically as a student and then as a member when I, you know, start, I guess I've almost always been a student member, but even in grad school. But as much as I got out of it academically, I got a ton out of it. And don't make any cracks about the partying, Paul. I got a ton out of it from the networking. I mean,
absolutely.
You learn more in some ways from talking to folks who are on the ground than you do from a book. And absolutely. As much as we do the science talk on this show and as much as we talk about things in that academic way, you know, there's so much more to be said for that's why we do our interviews. That's why we have our opening convos and all of that, because that practical experience is something you can't duplicate.
Now, what was the last show that you were at, Teresa?
I don't know.
do you remember what city it was?
It may have been Arizona.
Arizona?
Yeah, because I think that was after Larry and I were dating.
Okay.
And before we were engaged. And that would be right around the same time that I was...
That's probably only, what?
Finishing up at school.
5 years ago,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, it's about 5 years ago. Five, 6 years ago. Six. Well, six not a no, lot. It might be 7 years.
Not a lot has changed in that time, certainly. I mean, the show's gotten bigger. Mm-hmm. You know, there's more gadgets at the trade show. But, you know, essentially it's the same thing. But, you know, like I said, I just can't say enough about this show. We've brought Kim Heck on today from STMA to talk about it, and she'll have a lot of good background as far as what it takes. I mean, you think about what it takes for the planning of these types of shows. I mean, it's a multi-year process, and you know, you get done having the show, and you're already planning for the next show after that. It just never stops. So
actually, they're usually two or three shows ahead, if I remember correctly. Larry used to be on the board.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's crazy what it takes to put these big shows on, much less a small regional show. But let's take a break here, and when we come back, we'll get into it with Kim and find out, you know, what it takes to put these babies together and what we got coming up this coming year. For all of you Diamond Da Vinci's out there looking to extend your budget dollars as best you can, make sure you check out the open box section of the Beacon Athletics website. There you'll find items that have been discontinued in our product lineup, returned lightly used items, blemished product, or product we've used for demonstration. All products are new or slightly used and in great working order and are sold as is. These items can be yours at substantial savings. But there are limited quantities, so act fast when you see something you want. If you wait, the product may be gone. Products can be added at any time, so check the site often. Just go to www.beaconathletics.com and click on Open Box on the green toolbar at the top of our homepage. These hot smoking deals are too good to pass up. And we're back. And our Out of the Park interview today takes us to the headquarters for the Sports Turf Managers Association to speak with Kim Heck, the Chief Executive Officer for the association. Kim, welcome to our podcast today.
Oh, thank you, Paul.
Now, how long have you been with the STMA?
It's been 11 years.
11 years. It's been that long already? That's amazing.
I know. Time flies.
So you've been through a few of the trade shows then, obviously, and conferences.
Definitely.
So we're what? We're a little more than a month away from the conference this year, which runs January 19th through the 22nd. Now, what is the conference city this year, Kim, and how do you come to settle on the host city each year?
Sure. Well, our conference location's in San Diego this year. I believe it has been like 12 years since we've been able to be in the city, and actually this time we are going to be at the convention center, as well as our hotels will be in that surrounding area. I think previously we were a bit off-site the last time we were in San Diego.
Yeah, our closer to the Gaslight District, I think.
Yeah.
Very. Yeah. Right across the street.
And if I recall at that show, correct me if I'm wrong, Teresa, you might remember. And were you around for the San Diego show last time?
I was there for that one, yeah.
Kim, were you?
And I was not.
You were
not.
If I recall, I think part of the trade show was in the parking ramp, if I recall that last time.
That's what I've heard. That will not happen.
That will
year.
Not happen this year.
That will not happen this year. So our board looks about 5 years out for conference locations, and we're actually working on our 2020 conference right now. They solicit, or I solicit proposals from cities that can hold us. that are typically in warmer weather locations, not always, because we had Denver this year. That was a great show for
and
us.
And loved it.
But typically warmer weather locations, we do usually a 3 to 4 region rotation around the country. So from East Coast to West Coast, so we make sure we hit the Midwest, and we also hit the Southwest and the West. We look at a lot of the consideration is about the actual venue itself, how close hotels are to the convention center, what kind of room rate we can attain, what the move-in experience and move-out experience will be for our exhibitors, whether it's a really strong union town or not, the cultural items and, really what the city itself has to offer, the sports venues that are available for our off-site Seminar on Wheels tours, whether or not we have a local chapter that can assist us. So we have a myriad of factors that go into that selection process.
Sure. And I'm assuming it makes it kind of hard you go to 3 different regions, basically the Southeast, South Central, and Southwest most of the time, correct?
Yeah, well, and the East also. We hit Florida in the East. And what also makes it a bit challenging is the size of our show. We're not a huge show, but we're not a tiny show. So we always want to be in a convention center. And in some of the locations, for example, San Diego, we have to be kind of matched with other shows that are going to be there that are maybe close to our size so that they can make certain, you know, they have efficiently sold the convention center. So that it's so sometimes convention centers will wait and say, you know, we can't give you the space on a first option until 2 years out. And that makes me and our board a bit nervous. So oftentimes we have to forego those selections and go to locations that definitely can contract with us 4 to 5 years out.
You know, the thing I always look for when I look at the 5 years out, as you talk about, you know, I'm always looking for new cities because, you know, you go to Phoenix so many times, you go to San Diego or Disney area so many times, and you're looking for something refreshing. So like when San Jose came up a couple of years ago, I got really excited because, hey, we've never had a show at San Jose. It's something new. And then of course, Daytona, which I thought was a fabulous place to have a trade show and a conference. I loved Daytona. And Denver. I mean, Denver last year was exciting. And I love the fact that we inched north. And I know that, you know, that can have its own problems, you know, along with it. But I would love to see us try and every so often penetrate into the north and just for a different venue and to see different things. I know will create some challenges with things like the golf tournament and things like that.
Sure. Well, our board has let our SAFE board know that, you know, they cannot always consider a golf tournament within, you know, our events just because we may want to go north or to a cold weather location. So,
sure.
Our board had actually a really good discussion on whether or not to how valuable new cities are in the mix versus cities that knowing exactly the same location that you're going to be going every year.
Sure, sure.
And I think we'll be doing some surveys. We're going to be contacting and our commercial
members
and try to kind of get some feedback on really what is important to them. We think we know, but not unless you ask. So, you know, our Orlando, I think sometimes people who go to Orlando often, because it is a really good convention city, as the administrators of the conference and as attendees, you might get a little bit tired of going to Disney or a bit tired of Orlando. But every time that the association holds a conference in Orlando, we always have an uptick in registrations. And we realize that, you know, we have new families and, you know, younger people really like to tack on that, well, even older people like to tack on that vacation to the Orlando area. So the last time we were in Orlando was 2010, and we'll be there then in 2017. So that will have been 7 years since we've been there. So got to kind of put that into perspective too.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, there's no doubt about that, that a lot of the guys and gals who are in the industry do take the advantage of the trade show and the travel to bring their families along at times and use it as a family vacation as well.
Well, so my question about that is, I remember back a long time ago when we all went to Las Vegas and there were some class attendance issues. it was, and to be fair, it was partially accidental. You don't realize how much of a number Vegas can do on you until you're in the middle of Vegas. Intentional or not, you know, it's tough to be in a distracting city. Do you guys notice that happens regularly, or is that something you try to plan for?
Oh, we definitely plan for it. We promote vacation times pre and post conference, so we'll extend the hotel room rate. We have guest registrations to actually go on the trade show floor, so we encourage husbands and wives and families. We also provide information about, you know, what is going on in the city, and then promote that those that accompany the remaining family members to go and see part of the city, and then wait until, you know, the conclusion of the conference to go and do things. I know that Vegas did have a lot of distractions, and there was that attendance impact. We don't plan to go back to Vegas. So
that's probably a good idea.
Speaking as a vendor, thank God for that we're not going back, because that was I remember that on the trade show floor it was pretty desolate out there.
I got home from that and slept for 3 days.
And especially in Disney, they have an afternoon package that is post 4 p.m. So we try to look at our programming and promote that package, so that if attendees want to meet with their families and then go do the evening Disney thing, it's not really impacting. Of course, we don't, and that's why we adjust our trade show hours with every city.
Interesting.
Yeah, I never noticed that, but yeah, now that I think about it, you do.
Well, let's shimmy on down and start talking a little bit about this coming year's program. What, in your mind, are the highlights in the education schedule coming up for the 2016 conference in January?
Well, it's difficult to just land on one or two highlights because we have 9 educational tracks. So I believe we're delivering education in the manner with which people like to consume it. We're providing really timely topics. We have a focus, though, this year on more biomechanics and sports injuries, and we have a number of experts coming to address those. We have not had that before on our conference program, and I think that'll be of great interest to our attendees.
Well, especially with the spread of artificial turf the discovery that we're hearing that in more often than not, a lot of the injuries are not due to the field as much as they are possibly the shoes that the athletes are using on the playing field. So that could be very timely as we see the proliferation of artificial turf at lots of different levels, not just the professional level anymore. Is there usually a theme then each year as far as the education is concerned, or?
Depends. Some years, depending upon what is going on within the industry, there may be a theme.
Mm-hmm.
We've focused on water before when we've held our conference out in California, because that obviously has had a number of drought issues. We're not focusing so much on water in California, but it is part of our program. We try to have a you know, a focus on professionalism and then on, you know, just industry trends. So it is changing. It is fresh every year. We do realize that with our 9 tracks, we do have to cover the basics of agronomy and water and construction and renovation, irrigation. We also really try to expand on our professional development track, and that's been increasing every year. We want people to come to the conference, also be able to refresh themselves, take a stronger step in their careers. So these professional development sessions are really important.
What if anything, in your mind, makes the STMA National Conference unique from the other conferences in our industry, Kim?
I think it's the collegial nature of our members.
Mm-hmm.
There are no egos. People come to share information. I think they really like one another. The fact that we have a very diverse membership within the same industry also is telling. You know, we have members that are at schools and parks, at the collegiate level, at the professional level. We have academics. We have, of course, our wonderful commercial members.
Mm-hmm.
And we have our parks and rec. And those groups all face some similar challenges, but also some very different challenges. Even though they're in different segments, they learn a lot from one another. And there is no parochialism. It is a very collegial group. And I think that sets the STMA conference apart from other conferences that I've been to.
Sure. Well, you know, I've always said this, nobody, and I mean nobody, does a better job of organizing and putting on a trade show like the STMA. And you have a group headed up by Dave Rosenberg.
Yes.
I forget the name of his company.
It's Marketing and Events.
Marketing and Events. Dave, I've known Dave for a long time, and the guy knows how to put on a trade show and a conference. I think he does such a spectacular job, and every day, every time I'm there, I'm always bombarding him with congratulations. They run such a great job. I've done some other shows that he runs as well, aside from the STMA conference, and they do a great job. How many vendors are currently signed up for the conference, and what are the show hours, the trade show hours for this year's conference?
Sure. Our trade show is just about sold out. I think we have one booth left, and we have, I think, 176 companies represented. The square footage, I know, is probably close to 40,000 in pure square footage. Our trade show runs on 2 days, so it opens on Thursday right after our annual meeting and lunch, and we serve dessert from the after the annual lunch on the trade show floor. So that starts at about 1:30, and it goes till, I think, around 6:30 on Thursday, and then on Friday, we are, again, we're serving food on the trade show floor, but we open at 10 and we close at 1.
Well, so I want to ask this. I don't want Paul to ask this because he's a vendor. what do you hear as the feedback for why folks want to go to the trade show? Because at first you think, and I remember thinking this as a college student when I first joined STMA way long ago, oh, good, I'm going to go get sold to. What really happens in the trade show? What is it that, I mean, because it's obviously a very successful trade show. People like going. They enjoy being there. It's not just the food that you have, although the food is usually very good. Why do members enjoy going to the trade show?
Well, it's a great networking spot. I would definitely say that it is the place to see new technology, new products, and new equipment. So there's an element of kind of excitement about what is coming into our industry? What are those new things that maybe I could try? But it's also a great opportunity for our members to access those who really know a lot about the equipment, the products, and the technology. All of our commercial members who exhibit, they have very knowledgeable people on the trade show floor. So questions are able to be answered. Those products and equipment, they're able to be touched and looked at. And it's different than just getting that information from a distributor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because everything's in one place and it's easy to compare and contrast.
Yep.
And you know, I have the view, Teresa, of both sides of the fence.
You
because
do.
While I am a vendor, yes. And to answer that from the vendor side, besides of course the opportunity to sell to people, first of all, there's a lot of friends out there. The salespeople out there have made friends with many of these guys. So, like Kim says, it's a great networking and it's a social event.
Absolutely.
Besides the fact that it's also a selling event, but from my, back in the days when I was with the Orioles, or now that I deal with the Little League, I'm still shopping there every year, still to this day, and I love it because, like Kim says, all the latest and greatest new stuff is out there, and I'm always anxious to see what's new, what's the greatest thing. Might not always pertain to my Little League, but I want to keep up to date with what's going on in the industry. So I look at it from two different ways, from a vendor's side and from a purchaser's side. So I can see the advantages for both sides in that situation. So we've got the great trade show. We've got the educational program. Now, one of the other big things that obviously happens at the conference is we have the SAFE Foundation, Kim, which is the charitable arm of the STMA. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And usually they take advantage of the large number of members who will show up for the conference from all over the U.S. And actually, I mean, we have people coming worldwide for this conference, which is that alone just blows my mind. So they take advantage of all those people being in one place to try and raise some serious cash for the foundation. So what are some of the things that the SAFE Foundation funds with its money, and what are the events at this year's show that will be part of the fundraising effort?
Right. SAFE funds scholarships. That's very typical of a 501c3 charity. Besides the scholarships, they fund grants, and they also fund educational outreach. A couple years ago, SAFE revised its mission and turned it externally to an educational outreach charity as opposed to an internal organization that just awarded scholarships. Of course, scholarships are very important, but the educational outreach and helping parents and young athletes understand the importance of a safe field, that's really what their vision is for the SAFE Foundation. And I'm very pleased to report that they've been able to move along in their vision. They were able to produce 5 videos within the last 14 months that are directed to parents and volunteers on how to walk the field prior to a game or to a practice to evaluate safety aspects of it, as well as in the stands. So SAFE really is putting to use the dollars that they get. SAFE has no staff. I'm not paid staff for it. None of my staff is paid staff. We all volunteer our time, as does our SAFE Board of Trustees. This year, SAFE is able to bring back their golf tournament because it's a gorgeous location.
Of course.
So we're able to raise funds from the golf tournament. Earlier this year in Denver, we were able to hold our first ever bowling tournament, and we put that in place as a fundraiser for SAFE because we couldn't hold a golf tournament in Denver very comfortably without knowing what the weather's going to be like. So it was our first ever SAFE Night of Bowling. We are also holding it again next year in San Diego. very excited about that. It was a lot of fun. It has a little different feel than our golf tournament. We had people participating who were just there to have a lot of fun. We have others that participate in our competitive bowlers. So it was I think, a really great event. This bowling tournament is going to be in a larger facility. We do have to bus people. We'll have a continuous shuttle taking them there. But so those are two big events. Throughout the conference, we also sell raffle tickets, and they're $10 a piece. And those raffle tickets are for fun items like a GPS system and an iPhone, new technology primarily.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a silent auction, and that is held every day during our trade show. And most of those items are memorabilia, clothing items from different teams, just about anything you can imagine in a silent
sure.
auction. And we bring new items out every day. And then finally, our last event is our live auction. And we have a great auctioneer, Tom Curran, who volunteers his time to actually conduct our auction. And we raise probably, with the golf tournament and bowling and the auctions and raffles, close to $20,000.
Wow, that's excellent.
So, that's really yeah. awesome.
And I'm glad to hear that we've got a bigger venue for bowling this year. Now, Beacon is, I will say this up front, Beacon is one of the sponsors. We sponsor the drinks that night.
That's because you're from Wisconsin and you guys love bowling.
That's right. Bowling and beer.
definitely appreciate it. Thank you.
It was too bad we had to turn. I mean, I know a lot of people came last year to the conference and hadn't signed up for bowling and wanted to sign up on site, and we had no room left.
We were totally sold out, and we were looking at ways that, we may be able to have a viewer's ticket. So they
that's
don't
cool.
want to bowl. Yeah.
And
they
want
to
great.
Come and be able
like
to watch
idea.
Their friends bowl and eat and drink.
And heckle.
we're still moving down that pathway because we know it's fun. Bowling alleys are fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We had a great time at last year's event, and I encourage anybody who's considering coming to the National in January to sign up for that bowling event. It's for a great cause, and it absolutely is a great time. You don't have to be quiet like you do on the golf course. You can make all the noise you want. And a lot of the teams got into it. There were people who had formed teams and made bowling shirts and everything, which I thought was really cool. It was just a great time.
It was a lot of fun.
So I'm glad to hear we're going to be in a bigger venue this time. That's great. Now, who all is eligible to attend the STMA conference?
Anybody. We would we target it really to those that are in the profession, but also if there are volunteers or athletic directors, anyone who wants to learn more about the industry, about sports field management, students who are in turfgrass management programs that want to pursue a career in sports field management. We definitely have a lot to offer for them. We encourage academics. We have a huge program. Our educational program has a number of academics that are presenting, as well as peers and commercial entities. We do encourage other academics to come and find out what's going on in the industry so that they understand and make their classes as specific and pertinent to the industry as possible.
Discounts, so it's a little less expensive for students to be able to attend when they can, right?
Right, and any student that participates on the student challenge, our collegiate challenge, which is highly attended, they get their conference registration for free, as does any new member of STMA, someone who's never been a member of STMA before, can attend one conference within 3 years at no charge. So they get a complimentary conference.
Well, that's pretty neat that they've got a time frame of 3 years to use that up. I like that.
Yes.
I might have to quit and become a new member again.
No, because you've already been a member.
Yeah, our new member requirements are that you have not been a member since the year 2000.
Oh,
ooh, I might be eligible, Paul.
Doesn't work for you, Paul.
Do you remember what the attendance was, the final attendance count for last year's show?
It was over 1,200 practitioner members, and then when you add in the
vendors.
The exhibition attendees, it was over 1,600.
Great.
Jeez, that's huge. I remember it being 500 and 700.
Oh yeah, I remember way, way back how small it used to be, and it's amazing. Actually, the first STMA conference to go at it alone, because the early conferences were typically paired up with the Golf Course Superintendent Show or like PGMS. The first show to actually go at it alone for STMA was at my ballpark in 1993 at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. That's where they decided to take the leap of faith and had it at our ballpark in our club level. Yeah.
How many, Paul? Do you remember?
Oh my God, no, I don't remember
like five.
How many. But like you said, it was in the hundreds. It wasn't anywhere near what it is now. It's much, much smaller. In fact, we had the lower concourse, which was outdoors, was where we had the trade show, and this is back when we were doing the trade show in November and not in January. So it was early November, if I recall correctly. So the weather wasn't too bad during that time. But they were shooting Major League 2 during that conference in the stands. So a lot of the attendees got a big kick out of that. But Kim, what is your favorite part about the STMA conference each year?
Oh, favorite part is getting to see everyone. You know, as a headquarters staff, we talk to a lot of people on the phone, but we actually get a chance to put faces with names and mm-hmm. to catch up on what's going on in everybody's lives really at the conference. So that's our favorite part.
Well, I have to agree. It's certainly my favorite part of the conference is seeing all these people in one place, at one time. And, so many people that sometimes, you run into people that know you better than you know them, or you don't know them and they know you.
Exactly.
And it's, okay, you know me? Who are you?
Yeah.
So, but it's a great experience, and I can't say enough to people how important it is to get to this show. Even if you have to pay for it yourself, it's such an investment for your own personal, professional advancement that it's well worth your time and money, even if you have to take vacation time to go to this show just once, because there's so much to see and so much to learn. And Kim, I appreciate you taking the time today to come on the show with us and talk about the upcoming show. We appreciate all the great information you gave us, and we look forward to seeing you in a couple weeks down there in San Diego.
Great. Thank you. Look forward to seeing everyone.
The holiday season is upon us, and I expect you're making a list and checking it twice. Which of your fields were naughty and which were nice? Our new 2016 catalog mails out after the 1st of January. Take advantage of the final weeks of our 2015 prices. And don't forget the huge deals you can find on our open items page of the Beacon Athletics website. If you're not on our mailing list, call or sign up on the web today in order to receive your own copy of our 2016 catalog. You won't want to miss what we have in store in our next catalog. Sign up to get your copy now at www.beaconathletics.com. And from all of us at Beacon Athletics and the Diamond Dimensions podcast, Merry Christmas and best wishes for a great new year for you, your family, and your fields. And we're back from another commercial break. So, professional development. You know, I have over the years have sent my crews to trade shows. I've urged students and sent students to trade shows and conferences. And I can't tell you how much they've benefited from. And as I had said earlier, you know, even if you have to pay for it out of your own pocket, the benefits that you reap so far outweigh what you pay. And now, obviously, if you're going to a national show, there's a lot more to pay. But certainly, you can go to these local shows because they're equally as valuable, because you learn about networking and you become networked. And so, for instance, if you're in school, hopefully that's going to help you have an easier time of finding a job. You know, that's the thing, because my son, of course, right now he's working for me at the Little League fields, but he's also in the Penn State online program. And he went hit to his first national STMA conference last year, and I think he was blown away by all the jobs and internships on their board down there near the registration area. And I mean, it really knocks you out when you look at all the jobs and internships available in the industry. That right there is worth somebody who's a student getting to the show, not to mention meeting other students and on all the great people who are there in the industry. That there's just so much to gain for these kids. And you know, you went, of course, mm-hmm. while you were still a student, Teresa. I never did, because when I was a student, there was no show.
Yeah.
But I mean, really, what did it mean to you while you were a student?
Well, and I was going to say, it's easy for you to say that it's worth the money to pay out of your own pocket to go as a student and all of that when you've never had to do that. And not as a dig, but just, you know, a lot of people will say that. And it's, if you've not been in those shoes, it's hard to say. But I did. I paid my own way every year. All through grad school, all through undergrad, I paid my own way. I asked for plane tickets for Christmas.
That's what my son does.
Yep. Exactly. So I forewent my Christmas presents and got plane tickets so I could go, and some money for hotel rooms, and doubled up with folks when I could. Although, honestly, one of the benefits that some of our male listeners will have that I didn't have is being able to find other people you can bunk with a lot easier than I could.
Yeah.
And I would say it was worth it. You know, it used to be that we would go and take a paper copy of our resume, and I still recommend that you do that. I also recommend that you print up some business cards, even if you're a student, and you mm-hmm. can, usually your university will allow you to use your university logo. Just double, you know, you got to do some Googling around on your university webpage to find out for sure how to do that. But, you know, even if you don't have a logo, just print up some basic, quick little business cards that have your name, your phone number, and your email address, so that you can hand those out like crazy. And, you know, have that information ready on your phone too, so you can exchange it electronically. Anything you can do to take advantage of the money that you've spent is going to go a long way. And so I always made sure I had a digital copy and paper copy of my resume. I always made sure I had business cards printed up and anything that I needed while I was there. And I got a lot of benefit out of it. I mean, even though I'm not, you know, fully active in the turf community as much anymore, the consulting that I do, I still have friends that I can call and rely on to get advice from or to talk things through when I need to. And honestly, I still get calls from some folks mm-hmm. who want the science side of things. And they'll say, hey, T, have you heard anything about blah, blah, blah? Well, you know, a little bit. Let me look that up for you. And I'll go look it up for them. And I mean, so yeah, it still pays off every day, I think. You know, and any, even when I wasn't crazy involved, when I kind of dropped out of turf, it was still very important to me, keeping up with those friendships and keeping up with, it allowed me to stay active within the industry so that I could come back when I was ready to come back.
Do you remember your reactions to the first time that you went to that show and walked into the trade show, say, or walked into some of these, into the educational sessions? Do you remember, first of all, what level were you in school at the time that you went to your first one? Do you recall?
I was a junior.
Junior.
And I was 20 years old. Everybody kept trying to buy me a beer.
Yeah, gee, there's a shock. but I mean, what was your reaction to all this that was out there that you probably never imagined?
I was blown away, and surprised by what I saw. I remember thinking, I remember meeting you for the first time, and thinking, wow, he's the head groundskeeper for the Orioles. And now I'm like, Paul.
Who cares? Paul who?
No, but you know, it was really cool because up until then, I hadn't had really any internships. I hadn't had my internship with Bookholder when he was back with the Durham Bulls. I was just getting ready to start that internship come that spring, and so I really didn't even know what I was getting myself into. And I was just blown away by everything. It was terrifying. I was one of five women.
I was just going to say that, you know, I remember when there were only three women in the industry who were there, and I'm not including, college professors, of who were female who were in there. I remember Rachel Sager, who later became Rachel Vogening, mm-hmm. With the Brewers, who was also a graduate of the same turf program that I was here at UW. Mm-hmm. It was her, Abby, mm-hmm. McNeil, and I don't remember where Abby was working at the time.
I think she was Denver Parks and Rec.
That may well have been.
She wasn't
actually,
with
not just, not
Ross
you mentioned
yet.
It.
Yeah.
And then I don't remember who the third female was, but I remember when there were only three females in the organization. And for those women, it had to be a little daunting to be amongst this huge mass of males coming in there. Now, the cool part is now you go and there are tons of women in the industry, which is so cool.
Yeah, and that is. That's wonderful. It's always good to have diversity of people. But the women who decide they want to go into sports turf aren't women who are easily daunted by men.
Well, it's just the sheer numbers because at the time they were
a
very, very small minority, so it had to be awkward. Now, you know, now they've got a breakfast each year for the women in the industry, mm-hmm. and a couple other events at the conference, which I think are really cool. And we have seen the numbers. Over the later 90s and early 2000s, you saw the numbers of females explode mm-hmm. in our industry, which was so cool. And now there's lots of them in there.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are doing incredible work at whatever facilities they're working at. But
they're doing the same work as all the guys, you know.
Yeah.
They're just the same as always, just kind of kicking in. The difference is, we always used to explain it like this. It's not that because I'm a woman, I'm different. It's just that it's almost like I'm wearing a different color shirt than everyone else. And so I stand out by just wearing that different color. And
as long as the shirt's not red, because you could get killed off then.
Star Trek nerd.
But anyways, getting back to my point, you know, is it important for me to go and get myself educated as much anymore? Probably not. I'm in the peak of my career, or I'm not the peak. I'm past my peak of my career, and I'm kind of on the downside. But it's still, I still want to keep
up. If you're
up.
Not learning, you're dying, Paul.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, I do fully enjoy learning everything I get there. But to me, it is so critical to get the young people in there and before they get to their job, if they can, expose these kids. I've got a new young lady who's going to be starting with us on our Little League complex this coming summer. And she's coming from the tech college here in Madison, who has a recreation management program.
Do you think she wants you to call her a young lady?
What should I call her? Woman? Lady? Isn't that, is there something wrong with that?
Crew member?
Well, yeah. She hasn't actually started working for us yet, but she's been hired for next year.
Just picking on you, Paul.
But again, you know, here's a situation where I recommended to her. I said, you know, you probably can't get there this year. You might not be able to afford it, but look at it down the road in the following year. You know, she's got big aspirations. She wants to become a groundskeeper for the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's awesome. So I've I've put her on our crew for the coming year so she can get, first of all, decide if this is what she really wants to do, mm-hmm. to make sure that that's the case. And then, I've advised her to get into the local chapter, because that she can afford very cheaply, $30. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. For those of you who can't get into these national shows, go to the local shows. Mm-hmm. There's, most of the states have a local chapter.
Yeah, unless you're in Texas, you can pretty much drive in and drive out of the meeting that day. You don't have to stay overnight. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're typically one-day meetings. I know here in Wisconsin, we typically have, our chapter has like about 3 events a year. We just had one recently at Lambeau Field. Excellent show. Andy McNitt from Penn State came. So a lot of times you'll get these heavy hitters who will come and speak at these shows. So there's so much to gain, whether you pay the big bucks for the major show or the little bucks for the local chapter. You're going to get networking. You're going to meet all the people in the area who do the same work that you do. And you're also going to hear some great speakers and learn some great things.
Well, and we've touched on it a couple of times, but part of that networking is the professionalism and learning how to, and this sounds so stupid the way I'm going to say it, but it is important how to comport yourself, how to hold yourself,
learning how to act professional.
Yes. We'll also teach you how to curse really well. I never was a big curser till I started in baseball grounds crew. Well, now I can't stop.
That's absolutely true.
But I also learned when to turn it off.
Yes. My former wife could never understand how I could swear like a sailor at work and come home to the house and I could edit everything. you'd never hear me say anything.
Yeah.
But that's true. I mean, unfortunately, sometimes swearing goes with our industry.
Yeah. But it teaches you how to interview, how to talk with people in the industry. It teaches you the shorthand language, which is one of the things that I always loved and about going to the meetings, local or national. All of a sudden, I didn't have to explain everything. Well, because when you're talking to a layperson about our job, you have to say, well, I was doing, I was floating the info. All right. So I do this thing where I take this board and I grade it and you have to explain every little step so that they get the joke. But at a conference, you're just like, I was floating the infield and everyone's like, oh, good. You're like, yeah. So, and then I did the thing and then the other guy and it's a shorthand and you can relax and talk with everyone. And that's nice too. So as much as you learn professionalism, you also get a chance to kind of, I hate to say, let your hair down.
And I don't care what level you're at either. I've seen more and more little leagues coming into our industry at these trade shows. And so I don't care what level you're at. You're going to benefit from this. You're going to find people who have the same problems as you do and might have an idea of how to solve that kind of thing.
Oh, absolutely.
So don't think that you're too stupid to go to it or you're going to ask a dumb question. You're there to learn. Mm-hmm. So ask the questions. Well, and if you got a problem, bring them with you, because somebody assuredly probably has experienced it and has an answer for it.
And that's, where I was kind of headed earlier. I was daunted. I was a little scared. I was a little nervous. And actually, that was true almost every time I went to a national meeting. But it didn't matter. Everyone there was happy to see you. They wanted to talk to you. They wanted to share information with me. They didn't care that I was a quote unquote dumb student. They were ready to just kind of open up and talk with me and bring me along for the ride. And I've seen that of all of the students. I've seen that of all of the different professional members, even major league guys. It's all there. NFL, all of that. Everyone is there to be a turf manager together. And to talk about that kind of stuff and not to look down their noses at each other. And it's kind of nice.
Yeah. And Kim brought up about the student challenge. Just a little quick thing about that. And this is very competitive. Did Virginia Tech or any of the places you go to have student teams while you were there or not?
I led those teams when we were there.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
No, we always got our butt kicked by Ohio State. We did. We fielded a team twice while I was there as a graduate student. I'm sure they're still fielding a team.
If you get a chance to get on one of those teams, get on one, because you know, it's funny because the first day of the trade show, when the show opens, all these students come rushing onto the ton to the trade show floor, and they're picking up anything that has value of to what they need to know for the test, because they'll come a lot of times to our trade show booth at Beacon, and they'll get the dimension guide, and I said, let me guess, I said, you're studying for the big exam tomorrow, right? Oh yeah, we got to get all the different you know, research material we can, so we know our stuff for the next day. So it's neat to see.
Well, you know, Paul, if those students had had a very nice teacher or teaching assistant like me, they would have been provided that by somebody who had already called Beacon and ordered those and given them to them.
That's a good point. You know, actually,
well before the exam, you know, it's and digitally as that. Well.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because we've considered contacting the TURF programs around the country to see if they'd like to have those dimension guides provided to them for their students, because there is a ton of knowledge in those things.
Oh my gosh, and so much. We relied on them heavily.
Yeah, they're free, and I defy you to find any place where what's in there is available all in one book.
You can't find it anywhere else.
Yeah, and actually I'm getting ready to write a new revision to that this coming year for that.
But oh, cool.
I digress. one thing I will add at the very end here is that we were hoping that Teresa was going to be able to be in our booth with us this coming year at the STMA, but unfortunately, she is with child.
So, No. Well, it's not unfortunate that I'm with child.
I meant unfortunately you won't be able to be there because
with I'm child with child.
You're going to be popping it out at any point near
don't
that
say
time.
It that way. So, the baby is due the first week of February, and so I would not be allowed to get on an airplane.
Because her and I had grandiose plans for the upcoming STMA show until we found out she was pregnant, and we'll have to put them off now for another year.
Well, that's good. It means we've got another year of podcasting.
I will have to do interviews on my own down there for the podcast. So, but we were hoping to have her there. But for those of you who were looking forward to her being there, she's not going to be there.
Even if I could be there, I wouldn't be able to party like I used to anyway. So it's no big loss.
Not the whole point of being there.
I know, but it's just part of the fun.
I'm sure you could still muscle down a couple drinks.
No.
Well, I mean, without the child, you could.
No, even then, my tolerance is shot to heck and back.
All the drinking you did do at the old shows. That's why.
I can have one beer. Oh, my goodness.
Well, I think that about puts this show in the books. I think we've pretty much talked this to death.
We've at least tried. Hey, don't miss a minute of our next show. And there are many places where you can find our podcast on the web. Of course, there's our main page at beaconathletics.com/podcast. There you'll find our show notes, which include any papers or links or photos that we discuss during an episode. You can also download our show on Apple iTunes. And just to preclude Paul from saying it, if you are downloading through iTunes, feel free to drop in and leave a kind word and a nice review if you do like our show. You can also go to Baseball Talk Radio or baseballpodcast.net. They'll both take you to the same website. We are new members there.
That's yes? baseballtalkradio.com.
Oh, sorry. We are new members there, and it is a great little sports talk podcasting group. You'll find us there, as well as a lot of other really cool baseball podcasts for all of you baseball junkies. It is a big baseball thing. I've said it 7 times in a row now, so that probably drove that home. But no, I've been checking them out. I've been listening to the Twins podcast. Paul, have you checked out the Orioles podcast yet, out of curiosity?
Not yet. No, I'm in my non-baseball mode. That starts up again in January. I'm in my football mode right now.
So go out there and check them out. They've got a different podcast for every team and all kinds of neat stuff going on. There's a lot of good shows there.
Well, again, be sure to tune in next time to the Dimensions podcast for more talk about Ballfield Groundskeeper. And the best part is it's all free, because you see, that's the kind of bargain we're going to strike up for you, because really, what I say really isn't worth the digital space it's stored on. And we'd love to hear from you. You can email Teresa and I at podcast@beaconathletics.com, where you can send us your questions or comments on our show, good or bad. Or if you have show ideas, send them along as well.
And if by chance you're a Twitter follower, our Twitter handle is at Diamond Da Vinci's. That's at Diamond, D-A-V-I-N-C-I-S. We're not crazy active there, but we like to share things now and again, especially while we're preparing for the show.
The Diamond Da Vinci's podcast is sponsored by Beacon Athletics for over 67 years, providing solutions for sports turf managers. And with that, I will see you later.
Adios, folks.